KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. As some may have concerns over whether more January 6th type troubles ahead after this election, a person who was in the middle of the 2021 attack on the Capitol and acted to stop it when rioters chanted for his death, former Vice President Mike Pence at a public policy event at Dartmouth University in New Hampshire.
If each of us will do our jobs, fulfill our obligations under the Constitution of the United States, it will always be so in this country.
Pence says he won't vote for Harris, but cannot endorse Trump. More than 62 million Americans have voted early, according to the Election Lab at the University of Florida. Chicago police have filed felony hate crime and terrorism charges against a man accused of shooting a Jewish man walking to a synagogue Saturday, Sidi Mohammed Abdullahi. After Israel's recent air raid on Iran, the head of Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps says Israel will now taste the response, an unimaginable response. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Rice Lake man accused of evading police during a high-speed chase has been located and charged. According to the Barron County Sheriff's Office, 21-year-old Logan Olson of Rice Lake was charged with fleeing an officer, recklessly endangering safety, operating with a revoked license, and bail jumping on Monday. The chase started when a Barron County officer attempted to stop the motorcycle being driven by Olson when he fled. He allegedly reached speeds of 90 miles per hour and escaped by driving on a walking trail where police could not follow. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has asked the state Supreme Court to decide if the state legislature should release $50 million for the Act 20 reading bill. The legislation would develop an Office of Literacy to identify and implement literacy testing and curriculum. Governor Tony Evers used line-item vetoes to cut parts of the bill, which Republican legislators called unconstitutional. A Dane County Circuit Court judge ruled that Governor Evers used the authority properly in August, but rejected the request to force the release of funding. A homeless shelter in Duluth has announced a planned expansion of their facility with an increase in the number of people experiencing homelessness. Chum officials say work to expand their Duluth facility will begin in the spring of 2025, allowing the shelter to open more beds and space and provide more services for people who are struggling. When originally built, the facility was meant to hold about 30 people. Now officials report they're seeing 100 people a day, and many are being forced to sleep on the floor of the shelter due to overcrowding. The Superior School Board held its budget meeting on Wednesday, discussing the future of the district with a massive referendum on the ballot next week. The school board was supposed to finalize their budget proposal this week, but with a five-year referendum on the ballot, they approved two versions of the budget to cover whether the referendum passes or fails. The district is facing a $2.5 million deficit for the next school year and has already needed to make significant cuts, including permanently closing a school to remain operational. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers shorthanded. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Detroit Lions Sunday, but had seven players missing from practice, including three starting offensive linemen and quarterback Jordan Love, all with injuries suffered against the Jaguars. I asked Love if he thinks he can play this week despite a groin injury.
I've actually never had a groin injury to this severity, but I'm going to keep working, keep doing rehab and treatment, and get myself ready to go.
The Lions had 10 players on the injury list, unable to practice. NBA, the Bucks and the Grizzlies tonight in Memphis. The Bucks are 1-3. The Grizzlies 2-3. The Badgers men's basketball team with a 78-62 preseason win over UW River Falls. Greg Gard.
In terms of the game, obviously we got a long ways to go defensively. That's not new news. I thought we did some good things at times, but you know, as I went to the bench, I thought we got leaky in different areas, and it shows me who's more ready than others.
That's Wisconsin's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. The snow showers that are around and the rain mixed will come to an end. It'll stay breezy, some clearing late, a low around 20. A sunny forecast returns for tomorrow, highs close to 40. Some showers return Friday night and Saturday. Right now it's 33.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold
hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 910 a.m. WBZH and the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel joins me. We will discuss the Wisconsin Amendment to the Constitution. What does it mean? How should we vote? And we'll preview the probable lawsuits after the election. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, folks. We are kicking off hour number two of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba here on a Thursday night. Happy Halloween, everybody. Wherever you are joining us from, welcome. We are broadcasting statewide here in Wisconsin on the radio, worldwide, if you have what I like to call the interwebs. Great to have you with me tonight. Conrad is riding shotgun, working the board, trying to make sense of his costume. He lost his hat.
Yes.
So it's not quite complete, but no. It's
50%.
Funny. I like it.
25.
Our question tonight is, where do you rank Halloween on the list of holidays? Where do you place it? That is our question. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. We will read your text on the radio. Tom from New Berlin says, Pete, are you carrying, this is in reference to my prisoner costume, Pete, are you carrying your wallet prison style? I think I know what that means. It can only mean one thing. And my guess is Tom's watched a lot of Oz, maybe. He says, or keys, ouch. Yeah, I'd rather lose my keys than carry the keys prison style. Eric from Lodi says, I always rank holidays that give me a paid day. Number one, Thanksgiving. Number two, Christmas. Number three, 4th of July. Number four, Memorial Day. Number five, Labor Day. Number six, Halloween. Yeah, I'm gonna put Halloween back a bit. I got a little too excited at the start of the show, but I think as I get older, my kids are past trick-or-treating age, maybe 10th. Monica from Mount Horeb says, Halloween is number one, hands down, no stress, lots of candy. What more could you want? Monica in Blue Mounds. Thank you, Monica. That makes a lot of sense to me. Eric continues, oops, number six is New Year's Day, but Halloween is my favorite unpaid holiday. Yeah, I don't know. New Year's Day is a tough one because you kind of, most people have to go back to work right away the next day. You got some football on, some food. It is fun. I don't know. Linda from Milwaukee, clap emoji and a heart. Thank you, Linda. If there's more to that text, we didn't get it. I apologize. But either way, we will take your loving emojis. And finally, not finally, but for now, we're going to get to our guest. But Maggie says, Helene Walsh here. I know Joe would like to pre-record with you. I don't think that was meant for us, Conrad.
I do not think so.
Steady Eddie says, boo, Pete and Conrad. I wanted to see your costumes on this Halloween night, so Siri asked me to help. I asked her to show me some websites where I could watch Pete Schwabba on Civic Radio, also known as Civil Radio, if you're really scoring at home. She began to search, Siri, searching for Pete Schwabba on Civic Radio. I've heard worse, Eddie, when it comes to my name, believe me. I've heard
Peach Cobbler.
Peach Cobbler, that's the big one. From now on, you will forever be known, at least to me, as Pete Schwabba. I can live with that. Star of radio, TV, and the silver screen, or on Halloween night, the silver scream. Get it? And then he says, ah, a scream. Steadfast Edward. He's Steadfast Edward tonight, not Steady Eddie. So thanks for the text. Keep them coming. We will get to the rest of these texts after we talk to our next guest. I'm very excited. We have just great guests tonight. Jenny Slate is here at 7:35. She's from Parks and Rec and Bob's Burgers. And we played a very funny clip of her before on Saturday Night Live. But right now, I'm excited to talk some noir with my next guest, who I just met last month. Her name is Mariah Gates. She writes for RogerEbert.com. She's a Chicago-based film critic, and she joins me tonight to talk noir. Noir-vember, should I say. Mariah, how are you? Oh, you dressed up. I love it. Oh, that is fantastic. Where did you get a costume like that? Oh, that's great. A for effort, and it looks fantastic. Better than my costume, which I paid like $4 for at a store to take my kids trick-or-treating, but gotten a lot of mileage out of it. But you look great. Thank you. It's great to see you. Thank you for being here tonight. How are you? Yeah. I'm with you. I am totally with you. Hey, where do you rank Halloween? You obviously are getting into it, so you're a fan. Oh, that's fantastic. I love it. All right. Well, mine was top five, but I don't get into it as much as I used to. But I was just curious. That's right. Wow. Good gig. Oh, that's so funny. All right, Mariah, I think we have an issue with our StreamYard feed, so I apologize for this, but I'm wondering if we can call you on the phone to continue the rest of this interview. Would that be okay? All right, fantastic. Conrad, well, if you want to, Conrad, how do you want to do this? Do you have Mariah's
number? Yeah, I got it. I'm going to call her right now.
Okay, he's got your number. He's going to call you. You can stay on the stream if you like, but let's do the audio part through the phone, okay? All right, that's Mariah Gates. She's with us. We're going to talk Noir-vember. I don't know how you guys feel about noir. I love it. And I'm very excited to get her take on some of the movies that I've seen that I like that are noir. Steady Eddie texts again, says, Pete, can't hear your guest. I know. We're on it, Steady Eddie. Thank you for letting us know, though. I don't know what's going on with our stream tonight. Linda, no, we already read that one. Steve from Florida says, number one, Christmas. Number two, Thanksgiving. Number three, Halloween. I'm with you, Steve, except the Halloween. I think Halloween would have been number three when I was younger. Now I don't even think I have it in the top five, but it's definitely probably the third most popular holiday. So anyway, all right, we have Mariah back. She is with us still. Mariah, sorry about that. I don't know what's going on with her stream. We had some issues last night too, but it's good to have you either way.
Oh, no worries. As long as you can hear me now.
We're all set. All right, let's talk Noir-vember. For those listening, tell us what Noir-vember is.
So it's a online holiday. Well, it's not online anymore, but it started out as an online celebration of noir. I didn't have a job then either. No, I have a job now. People pay me. But back then, no one paid me anything. And so I was just watching movies. And I really wanted to get into noir. This was 2010. So this is Noir-vember 15 this year. And wow. I decided to tackle, I think at the time it was IMDb's top 50 list, so like take that with a grain of salt. I have since realized some of those films were not really noir, but it was a good list, and so I tried to invite people to do it with me. That's like the hashtag. I think I had one friend who watched Laura with me, and shout out to my friend Lily. No one else joined me. It was just me watching noir into the void. But I kept doing it every year and using hashtag and posting on various social medias. And eventually some libraries started joining in. And then a lot of illustrators started drawing like, you know, gumshoes and attempts at towels and stuff as their like warm-up drawings. And then you started to see video stores join in. And then you saw rep theaters join in. And now, like, who is it? So the one of the repertory print companies in the UK has an entire like buyer and noir member package and play it in your theater.
Nice.
So it's become a whole thing. I'm actually going to be in Boston next week at the Brattle, where I'm introducing a noir member series. So it's created this whole thing where I think probably 99.9% of the people who do noir member have no idea who I am. which is hilarious because it started out as literally just me and a bunch of movies.
So you started this whole thing.
Yeah.
That's really impressive. I'm glad that there's a celebration of this because I'm sure you've seen probably way more noir movies than I have, but for people listening that might not know, like to me, noir is detectives and gumshoes and dames and cigarettes and shadows and black and white. How do you describe what makes something film noir?
Well, you know, this is up for debate on whether you're a purist and historians have, you know, lots of thoughts. And the basic answer is that if you're talking about the original era, it's roughly 1921 to 1959, and it had to do with the like post Great Depression sort of economic hardships coupled with World War II and all of the nihilism and death that was coming. A lot of the early noir directors were immigrants who had left, which, you know, fled Hitler's Europe basically. And they were bringing a lot of this darkness with them and reflecting how America, this shiny place, was actually not that shiny.
Yeah.
I'm not adherent to the era is the only era. Like, I'm more of a noir as a, like, tone. I think Eddie Muller, who founded the Film Noir Foundation and is known as the Czar of Noir, has the best. He's been doing this longer than anybody pounding the pavement to get noir taken seriously. And he has the greatest one sentence description of how you know a movie is noir. And he calls it suffering with style.
Oh, that's great. My guest is Mariah Gates. She writes for RogerEbert.com, and she is a Chicago-based film critic who is the creator of Noirvember. If people want more information, Mariah, what social media platform do you suggest they go to find out more about Noirvember?
Yeah, there's a Facebook page. It's just facebook.com/Noirvember. That's where I post most of my things that I find. Like if whenever I find that someone is doing a celebration or a screening or whatever, I put it on there. I also, throughout the month of Noirvember, a lot of bloggers will be blogging their way through the month. And so I try as many as I can find of articles or blog posts or a lot of people do TikTok and YouTube videos as well. I try to post all of those to the Noirvember Facebook page, just as sort of an aggregate for the celebration.
Okay, perfect. When we got to do a very quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you what your favorite films are. And then I'm just going to throw this out there, but it's too bad we don't live closer to each other. We could really crash a party with our costumes. I think we're really rocking some boss threads. I don't know if you agree.
I think so.
You put a little more thought into your costume than I did with mine. All right. My guest is Mariah Gates. We are talking Noirvember, her own creation. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of our favorite noir films. And maybe we'll touch on Terry Garr if we have time to. We'll be right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. What makes Wisconsin great?
Find out as Todd Albaugh and friends tour the state by bus, and they're coming to a city near you.
If people want to come out and say hi, first drink is on us, whether it's alcohol or not, and then some cheese curds, and we're going to be doing that all week long.
La Crosse to Eau Claire, Stevens Point to Appleton. Learn more and where to join them at civicmedia.us/whatmakeswisconsingreat.
The Todd Albaugh Show, a tour of, by, and for the people, all week, noon to 2. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing. Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so point for me.
Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best coworkers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Spooky, scary skeletons and shivers down your spine. Shrieking skulls will shock your soul, seal your doom tonight. Spooky, scary skeletons will speak with such a screech.
Spooky, scary skeletons.
Okay. I'm charmed. I wouldn't say I'm particularly frightened. welcome back. Our guest is Mariah Gates. She is a Chicago-based film critic who created Noirvember. And if you love film noir, you found us at the right time. Mariah, so what are some of your favorite films in the noir genre?
Yeah, my favorite, and I rewatch it every year, is Laura. Otto Preminger's Laura. Stars Jean Tierney as the titular woman whose murder potentially brings a bunch of people together, and you sort of find out about Laura from the perspective of the people who knew her. It's an adaptation of a book by Vera Caspary. The book is a little different. It's in three sections, but I think the movie is just, like, one of the greatest things that classic Hollywood ever produced.
I am embarrassed to say I've never seen that film. I've also not seen In a Lonely Place.
That was going to be my next.
The second one?
My next title, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at a list and I've seen quite a few of them. Touch of Evil, Sunset Boulevard, Double Indemnity, Usual Suspects. Dark City was on there.
Dark City is absolutely noir, yes.
That I didn't
it's
even...
like a sci-fi noir, but it's noir.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Why doesn't Rufus Sewell work more? Why don't we see him in more stuff?
I don't know. He's so good.
He's great. He's got a really cool look, and he's just a really good actor. What about, do you consider L.A. Confidential a noir?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I watch that one every year as well. I usually end the month by watching L.A. Confidential, like on the 30th of November.
Really? Okay. See, yeah. I'm glad I asked you about that because it is truly one of my favorite. I think it's a flawless film.
It's perfect.
It's perfect. Yes. And it's one of those, these are rare, but it's one of those movies. The first time I saw it, I was like, I wish this was longer. And I don't say that very often.
One time they showed it at the Music Box on 35mm.
Oh,
and I,
nice.
At the time, was working for Turner Classic Movies, so we had sponsored the screening. And I rode a car with James Ellroy. So
whoa.
That was an experience in and of itself. Yes.
Did you get to talk? Like, did you have a conversation with him?
Yeah. We talked with him. Yeah. He had a lot to say about Kevin Spacey. So
That's
less unshared, but this was before all of that came to light and he had a lot to say. And then when the news dropped, I was like, oh wow, everybody knew about this.
You know, it's
anything.
Yeah. I had, it's, one actress in particular told me something about Harvey Weinstein, and she didn't, it wasn't like, it's terrible because it shouldn't have happened, but it wasn't like hardcore, you know, force or anything like that, but it was just creepiness.
And it was enough for you to be like, oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, what can I do? But I was just horrified. And when that Kevin Spacey stuff came out, I couldn't believe that either. And it's too bad because he's so good in that movie. And yeah. the whole cast, Kim Basinger, Guy Pearce, Russell Crowe. So, yeah, that's interesting. Okay, and now where do you rank, like, oh, Blue Velvet was on the list, too. That's a great noir.
Yeah, I think that counts as a noir.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that movie. David Lynch is my favorite director. I've watched that movie probably too many times. I've seen it on the big screen at least 6 times.
Wow, no kidding.
A consummate midnight movie, that one. You can always find it like,
yeah.
around college campuses.
I remember when I was like 17 when I went to see that in downtown Chicago at the, there used to be the Fine Arts Theater right across from Grant Park.
Oh,
it was Grant
yeah.
Park at the time. I don't know if it's still there, but
yeah.
And it was, I was watching Dennis Hopper and I'm like, what am I watching? I was like this kid from a small town. And as I got older,
that's
I realized
amazing.
How funny it was. There were some really funny moments in that movie, you know?
Yeah. His Lost Highway is also, I think, like surreal noir.
Is that the Robert Blake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's with Bill Pullman. It's fantastic.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And you know what else was on here is One False Move.
Oh, yeah.
The Billy Bob Thornton, Bill Paxton film. I love,
oh, yeah.
love
Carl
that
Franklin.
Movie.
Carl Franklin has two of the great 90s noirs. He's got that one and he's got Devil in a Blue Dress. Both those movies are perfect.
Wow. Yeah. One False Move is just like the perfect premise. This small town sheriff, and I'm going to give everybody my own popcorn pick tonight because Bill Paxton plays this small town sheriff who's kind of in over his head, and he knows these drug dealers are on their way to, is he a small town in Arkansas, right, sheriff?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, and these bad drug dealers are on their way, and he's full of bravado, and he thinks he can handle them, and it's just like that kind of in the background, it's building toward that meeting. You know, and it was just such a good movie. I never would have guessed it was a noir, though, but I haven't seen it in like 25 years. So what about The Big Sleep? Are you a fan?
Oh, yeah. I do like The Big Sleep. That movie is one of those films not made for plot hole, you know, people because they're the plot's not important.
Right.
Just go
right.
with the vibes.
Right, exactly. Have you seen the show? It's a detective show, Bosch.
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay. It's Titus Welliver is the main character, and it's got very noirish, you know, pouring a scotch, listening to jazz, and you got the lights of LA, and he's trying to find this bad guy, and he can't stop smoking. It has so many great noir elements, but mixed with kind of modern day, I don't want to say machismo because it's a very well-rounded show, I think, but I'd be interested to know your take on that if you thought it was qualified as a noir TV show.
It sounds like it does.
Yeah. Well, I wish you luck with Noirvember. I think it's really cool. If you're listening right now, check out Mariah's social media platforms. Go to hashtag Noirvember on pretty much all the platforms, right? And you can find...
people use it.
Yeah. We have about 1 minute left, Mariah. Do you have any thoughts on, or were you a fan of Terry Garr?
Yeah. If it weren't for Terry Garr, my parents would not have gotten together. They went
Whoa.
To see Young Frankenstein for their very first date, and that's how they got together. And so Terry Garr, Mel Brooks, all of the people in that movie, if it wasn't for them, I don't think I would be here. So
oh, wow.
I always love Terry Garr.
That should be your next hashtag campaign, I think. That sounds that's great. Agree. I'm a huge fan. And she was so great in so many movies and had so many late night talk shows. She just cracked me up. She was so funny. And I always thought when someone makes Letterman laugh or Johnny Carson, I'm like, that's a really funny person. And she was just hilarious and a phenomenal actor. So
I also recommend people check out One from the Heart, which there's a restoration that just came out. And
oh, okay.
It's a gorgeous, interesting, you know, strange film, but she's so beautiful in it and so just empathetic and lovely and bubbling and everything you love about Terry Garr, but in a musical.
That's outstanding. Thank you so much for your time. Enjoy Noirvember, and I hope we get to do this again soon. Thanks so much, Mariah.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. All right, that's Mariah Gates. Check out Noirvember. We are coming right back with Jenny Slate will be here after the news. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. If you want to vote early in Wisconsin but still haven't done it yet, your window is rapidly closing. The final day for in-person early voting in most communities is Friday, unless your municipality offers early voting over the weekend. There will be no in-person early voting anywhere in Wisconsin on Monday to give election workers the time they need to prepare for Election Day. For details on when in-person early voting will be offered in your area, you should check with your local clerk. If you can't vote early over the weekend, you'll have to wait for Tuesday. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is urging residents to sign up for health care coverage when the open enrollment period launches on Friday. In a statement, Governor Evers praised the Affordable Care Act as a game changer for Wisconsin families, which saw over 250,000 residents sign up during the last open enrollment period. Governor Evers has also called for an expansion of Medicaid, claiming it would bring in nearly $2 billion at a crucial time for the health care industry. The open enrollment period will end on January 15th. After collecting nearly 300 submissions and narrowing them down to 10 finalists, it's time for Duluth residents to vote for their favorite in their first-ever snowplow naming contest. Among the 10 finalists are names like Sled Zeppelin, Blizzard Wizard, and Edgar Allan Plow. Residents have until November 4th to vote for their favorite name on the City of Duluth's website, and the winner will be announced on November 11th. The winning name will also be displayed on the snowplow at the Christmas City of the North Parade on November 22nd. A group of Duluth area renters took to City Hall on Wednesday for the unofficial launch of a tenants' union. About 100 members attended the event, calling for improved affordability, livability, and availability of housing in the city. Many complained that in addition to an overall lack of housing stock, much of the housing stock that does exist is far too old and in terrible condition. They also complained of mistreatment and a lack of communication from landlords when problems arise. The union seeks community-led solutions for the housing issues. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Star of many hit movies, Terry Garr has passed away at the age of 79. Garr starred in films like Tootsie, Young Frankenstein, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, After Hours, and Mr. Mom. Most recently, she played Phoebe Buffay's mother on Friends. Garr was a staple on the late-night talk show circuit and has always made the hosts laugh. The Oscar-nominated actress passed away after a long battle with multiple sclerosis. She was diagnosed with the disease in 2002. Speaking of Friends, Lisa Kudrow, the actress who played Phoebe Buffay on the hit sitcom, spoke of Garr's influence and abilities, saying Terry Garr was a comedic genius and was a huge influence on Kudrow, adding that she was grateful for the opportunity to work with Garr. In addition to all her acting credits and awards, Terry Garr also starred in 6 movies with Elvis Presley, including Viva Las Vegas. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, P. Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. The snow showers that are around and the rain mixed will come to an end. It'll stay breezy, some clearing late, a low around 20. A sunny forecast returns for tomorrow, highs close to 40. Some showers return Friday night and Saturday. Right now it's 33.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls.
In the presidential race, we have it at a 1-point Harris lead, 48-47, with 5% undecided. And how those people make up their minds, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I have DC Metro Police Officer Daniel Hodges. He was there on January 6th. We discuss. And first congressional district candidate Peter Barca. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time, actress Jenny Slate. Jenny, welcome to Nightlight and welcome to Wisconsin.
Hi, P.
Pete. Thank you. It's good to be back in Wisconsin.
Yeah. So, okay. That tells me this is not your first time here. Tell us a little bit about your visit and how it's going.
Well, I'm here because I have a new book out called Life Form, and I'm touring around the country, and I'm doing a show here tonight at the Orpheum, and I'm also here to, you know, get out the vote for Kamala Harris and tell people how to do that and, you know, generally spread like a joyful spirit.
That sounds good to me. So what does that entail, Jenny? Typically, are you canvassing? Are you just giving pep talks? How is your contribution going here? And what are you doing?
You know, a lot of it is about using my, you know, like social media platform to just like give basic information and honestly, like having conversations like this where I, you know, remind people that early voting is underway. For example, that you can vote at any early voting site in your municipality, things like that. And also that, you know, like I have a lot of stress around like, oh, my absentee ballot that kind of thing. And it just sort of like making that more normal for people and just being like, you can register to vote even during early voting right now, even on election day up till, you know, the witching hour, the very end. Things like that, just getting information because it's so, so important that people, especially in Wisconsin, go out and vote, especially when it's going to come down to about like 2 or 3 votes per ward. It's just so, so crucial. And that also means being able to tell people that like they're really important and what they prefer and what they want for their world matters. And this is how they can make that difference for themselves.
Very well said. And I think you're right. Anything to cut down confusion for anybody voting as to where they can do it, how they can do it, when they have to get this or that in by really helps a lot. What are some of the issues for you personally that are important in this election that you want people to know about?
You know, for me, I would say the most important thing is, of course, the reproductive rights issue. And I myself have a human body. I happen to have a little daughter, but generally I want to live in a world where people can decide what they want for their own bodies and where the government does not tell them what to do with their bodies. I really want that freedom. And I know that Kamala Harris is trying to protect us that, you know, when she's president, she will reinstate all of those reproductive freedoms that are so have been so restricted already, and that's kind of central for me, and also just like coming from a place of joy, coming from a place of positivity, really wanting to build a beautiful world for myself and my daughters. That also includes like what happens to the environment, how we all treat each other, and I think Kamala stands for all of you know, those like respectful, joyful, caring objectives.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a great answer. Have you gotten any resistance since you've been here? Are people like you talk about joy? Have you experienced that with the people you're talking to help you get out the vote?
Yeah, I have. Good. And I think that, you know, while Donald Trump wants us all to be really freaked out and to feel really isolated, the fact is that there are so many people who are excited to just, as they say, turn the page, that to just like be a part of something new and be a part of a new way forward. And that it feels so good to be a part of a big positive group. It's literally the opposite of being isolated and like super pissed off. And I would prefer to feel that I'm being active, to feel that I am being courageous, and that it's actually a pretty light lift when it comes down to it, because that is a lovely, lovely way to exist and to, you know, like feel your human spirit.
Well, you definitely, okay, so in your career, I'm not surprised at all by your answers, because you have done so many great things in the comedy genre. I assume that's your genre of choice, and you've done live action, you've done voiceover. What do you prefer? Do you like just doing voices, or do you prefer live action and playing off of someone?
I actually prefer live action, and it is because I am like hyper gregarious and I just like being around other people.
And I
also have like learned in my own career that coming from a place of like combo joy, joy, tenderness, and like true comedy is the way that I've actually felt the most powerful. And I think it's been really good for me to use that sort of set of emotions or qualities or talents that I've already developed in my creative work to go out there and generally like affect our world for the better by voting for Kamala and helping other people do that as well.
Even though you said live action, I'm going to ask you about Bob's Burgers. Have you had
I love that show.
Have you had a great experience? I just mentioned off air that we have a mutual friend, John Schrader, who writes for the show. It's a great show, and it seems like a great staff and crew. What's that experience been like?
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny. I can hardly record that show because I laugh so hard. That and The Great North. You know, I'm on both of those shows.
Yeah.
They're just so dear to my heart, and like, There's no bad apples there. Everybody is a true sweetheart, and the scripts are continually so funny that, yeah, like, I laugh so much while I'm doing my work, and I feel like that's kind of like, geez, what a gigantic luxury to be able to be that happy. Plus, they let me do my own fart noises, which is, you know, of course, a big badge of honor for me.
I'm not even going to ask you about how you research such things, but I do appreciate
just
your...
Just by living life. Just living life.
That's fantastic. Jenny, I know you have to run and get to other interviews. Keep up the great work here in Wisconsin. Good luck getting out the vote and continued success in your career. We're watching and we're big fans.
Thanks, Pete. You're so great. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. All right. That's Jenny Slate. She is here in Wisconsin to help get out the vote and was nice enough to answer some showbiz questions, too, which is always fun. So I fully admit that I, you know, like, politics aren't my first thing that I like to talk about in the air, but if I can get someone on the show like Jenny Slate or Adam Brody, with the help of Civic Media, I'm totally going to do it because it's worth it. And getting out the vote is important. And you know what cracks me up? When people say, I don't care who you vote for, I just hope people vote. That is such BS. Nobody wants the other side to vote. They want you to stay home. That's how Ben Affleck used to be. I just want people to vote. Get out there and vote. It's almost like, what are you, Mr. Rah-Rah? I don't know. Conrad, what religion are you and who are you going to vote for and how much do you make a year? That was Jenny Slate. It was so much fun talking to her the other day. She just has such a great personality. She's so funny. And man, is she on a run. She, as she mentioned, all these shows she's on, and she does such a great job, whether it's live action or animation. She has so much fun. Oh, we're getting costume people walking by the window. Did you see the guy in the Terrifier costume? Awful. But it was really fun to talk to her. And she did a show that night, I think she said, at the Orpheum, a one-woman show that sounded like a lot of fun, too. It would have been fun to go to that. But we have one more clip from her. Let's play that. This is from Parks and Rec, right?
Yes.
All right. So this is Jenny Slate, the guest we just had on the show in a pre-record. And this is her... This is a scene from Parks and Rec with Jenny Slate.
Daddy, someone set a fire in your car because you took too long and I got bored. Money, please.
Oh, no, there's no money.
Oh, my bad. No problem.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. I'll just destroy this office.
Oh, hey!
Money, please! Money, please.
Ben, give her some money. It's easier.
That's very funny.
It's actually who plays her dad is Henry Winkler.
Yes. Yeah. I've seen that show. I've not seen a ton of episodes of Parks and Rec, but the ones I've seen, I really liked. Who was your favorite character on Parks and Rec?
Why can't I think of her name? Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, Aubrey Plaza.
I can't think of the name. Who she plays is hilarious.
Yeah. And who's the older guy? Jerry? He's really funny.
The one clip we pulled of him, wasn't that Halloween kind of? Well, they were dressed up and they scared him.
And he was farting. He was having a heart attack and he couldn't stop farting.
Yes.
And it was just brutal. That was so funny. And he's just a funny guy in general, though. Like every scene with him, he just, he just looks the part and he's very funny. But Jenny Slate is hilarious on that show too. That voice of hers cracks me up. And what was she doing? We played the Saturday Night Live clip earlier.
Yes, yes.
What was that accent supposed to be?
I think it was supposed to be like a Jersey accent.
Oh, God, it was funny. All right, here's another clip. I wanted to get to this because Adam Brody was on the show the other day from the Netflix show Nobody Wants This. I talked to him a little bit about his role in Promising Young Woman, where he was great. He was on The OC. He also played Greg Brady, I think, on a Brady Bunch movie in like the late 90s. I think that kind of helped launch his career. But this is a scene from the show Nobody Wants This on Netflix with Adam Brody and Kristen Bell, and it's pretty self-explanatory. They're sort of being a couple.
Self-sabotage all you want, but I think you should get over it because, Joanne, I'm on your side. I can handle you. Was it the sport coat?
I mean, part of it's that you keep referring to it as a sport coat.
Okay. It is a sport coat.
I...
Doesn't matter. That's not what matters. Here's what matters. I really like you. Like, a lot, okay? And you like me too, so stop pretending that you don't.
Fine. I do.
You do what?
I do like you.
Wait. You have to say it while I'm wearing the sport coat. Otherwise, it's not real.
I don't know if I can.
Let's consummate this. You can say it to the sport coat.
Okay.
Sense, right?
Okay, fine. I really like you. I really like you. I really like you. But also, you said Prego with an accent.
I knew it was a wrong the second
don't
it came out.
Do that.
I knew it.
I can't I have sex it. With you and have that in the back of my head.
Do you want to go upstairs and test that theory?
He's got a very good everyman quality. He reminds me of a young Tom Hanks. And it was funny, like, when I had him on the show, when I was interviewing him, and I think we aired that Monday night, I asked him, I said, what do you, you know, something like to the effect that, what do you call a sports coat? Is it a sports coat? And there's always that fear when you ask someone that he's not going to remember the line or whatever. He's just, there's going to be radio silence, but he did right away. And he was a great sport about it. And he said, what else do you call it? And I don't know what else to call it either. A sports jacket. What the hell was that? Was that one of those Conrad sound effects? Like, this is what I think a sports jacket would say if it could talk. Is that,
no, it's...
Did you trip and fall on the wrong button?
I did.
What do you call a sports coat? It's a big debate on this show.
I just call it a jacket, if anything.
Suit coat? Sports jacket?
I'll just say I got to bring my jacket. That's just everything.
Yeah. It's all encompassing. And do you bring the jacket that says Master Baiters on it?
I don't wear this any other day besides Halloween, if I'm being honest.
What about when you go fishing? You don't wear
you
that?
Know, actually, I don't go fishing ever. But if I, like, if next time I do, I'm going to bring it.
Well, are you worried your fishing buddies are going to take it the wrong way and suggest a little party out on the lake that you're not in favor of?
No, I just think they'll think it's funny, but.
I hope so.
They've seen it many times anyways.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. So when we come back, this is a very funny thing. On John Oliver's show, which is one of the best shows on TV, Will Ferrell rewrote Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. We're going to play that next on Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know you left. To take me away, take me away, take me away, take me away. Ho, ho, hee, hee, ha, ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes and their cutting to take me away. I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Huh? Well, you just wait, they'll find you yet. And when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. And I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Liz Cheney, famous not Democrat, endorsed Kamala Harris for president.
I know that the most conservative of conservative values is fidelity to our Constitution.
Liz Cheney said that.
I tell you, I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Patriotism above partisanship.
Listen to Rational Revolution with Mark Becker wherever you get your podcasts.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
In case you were wondering, yes, I am on work release. I need to get back to my holding cell. Back to the Huskow to stick with the film noir motif that we were going with earlier, thanks to Mariah Gates. This has been fun. Thank you so much, you guys, for listening. Tom from New Berlin says, that was the beginning of Everyone Should Get Stoned. This from the 60s. Tom says, thanks, brought back memories. A friend had the 45. That's not a gun. I don't know that song, but I'm glad we made Tom feel good. That was exciting.
Wait,
he's saying Thriller, though.
Yeah, that's the one I just played.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I got to thank Amanda for putting all these Halloween music together.
Oh, okay. A shout out to Amanda Nimmer.
Yes.
Outstanding. We have a really fun show tomorrow night, folks, too. Madison film critic Rob Thomas will be here. He is also the CityCast Madison editor. We'll talk movies with Rob, and then it is a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr will swing by with new music that will knock our socks off like it does every week and sparkling conversation. And then Monday, I'll be doing the show from Madison, and Mascot Theory, Eric from Mascot Theory, will be in the studio performing. That will be fun. And Mike Rowe, Futurama and King of the Hill writer, will be on the show. We'll talk about Mike's book and comedy in general and those great shows he's been a part of. He's a very prolific TV writer, and that's Monday night show too. Tuesday night, there will be election coverage during this time, and then we'll be back at it again on Wednesday. So lots of fun coming up on Nightlight the next few nights. And if you want to get in, a last-second text in, our question tonight was, where do you rank Halloween? Is it your favorite? Is it your fourth favorite? Where do you rank it on the scale? I think I'm going to go. I'm like seventh or eighth. I'm even taking Arbor Day over Halloween at this point in my life because I'm like, I have fun with it on the radio. I'm dressing the part, but I don't look forward to it. It helps you plan radio shows. I love that part of it. We talk about scary movies and fun music. So anyway, all right. So we have a fun clip here. This is John Oliver. If you are not watching John Oliver, his show on HBO on Max last week tonight, check it out. John is so funny and makes such great points about current events, and he does it all using comedy, and it's brilliant. The show is absolutely brilliant, and this is a song that we found. Will Ferrell sings this song. He kind of did a new version of Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA because John Oliver heard that Lee Greenwood charged the United States to use that song to play for immigrants when they become citizens. So John thought the song should be a little different, so he had his pal Will Ferrell help him out.
You studied hard, you did your best, filled out the forms and passed the test. Now you're part of a land that's so God bless, and starting today, you're American. There's corn dogs and apple pie, fireworks lighting up the sky, NASCAR rodeo barbecue. That stuff's American, now so are you. We learned our presidents and our laws. I think it's time to mention our flaws. We're a real big country with real big problems. We're kinda hoping you could help us solve them. Televangelists and fossil fuels, metal detectors in all our schools, private prisons and Mountain Dew. That's us American, now they're your problem too. Student debt and CTE, the war on drugs, Scientology, Boeing Airlines and Ted Cruz. They're all American, now so are you. Nowadays it's harder to be free, hard to be the country that we ought to be. You weren't born here, you volunteered to join your faith to the great and the just plain. So get ready for the truck nuts and jet ski trips, Santa Claus and food on sticks, thousands of medical bankruptcies, plantation weddings and Chuck E. Cheese, big goats and LL Bean, tornadoes there at Halloween. Holy shit, I just remembered the coup. That's us American. We sure ain't perfect, but here's to the fight. The brightest future's the one you'll ride. Wherever you come from, wherever you roam, fellow Americans, fellow Americans, fellow Americans.
That has some laugh out loud lyrics. Very funny stuff from Will Ferrell and John Oliver. Check out Last Week Tonight on Max Sunday nights. Very funny show and very insightful points that they make about current events and old folks' homes and all kinds of stuff. That was the most recent one I saw. It was great. So, hey, everybody, thank you so much for being with me tonight. I'd like to thank my guests, Mike Siegel, who helped us make our popcorn pick of the week, Mariah Gates, the film critic, and Jenny Slate from Parks and Rec and Bob's Burgers. All of them so fun to talk to you. Thank you so much for your text. We'll be back here to do this again tomorrow night with a new version of Nightlight. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, let's hear some Brian Boitano. I think we've earned it. Good night, everybody.
We can't do anything. Our mom's organization is too strong.
Well, then we'll round up all the grounded kids in town and start our own organization. An organization to help save Terrence and Phillip.
Hey, yeah, our own secret club.
I guess that could work.
We have to try. What would Brian Boitano do if he was here right now? He'd make a plan and he'd follow through. That's what Brian Boitano do.
When Brian Boitano was in the Olympics skating for the gold, he did 2 sal cows and a triple lutz while wearing a blindfold.
When Brian Boitano was in the Alps fighting grizzly bears, he used his magical fire breath and saved the maiden's fair.
So what would Brian Boitano do if he were here today? I'm sure he'd kick an ass or two. That's what Brian Boitano do.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, could there be winds of change blowing through the northern part of Wisconsin? We'll talk to Kyle Kilborn running against Tom Tiffany. Join us.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.